This morning's reading, excuse me, this morning's reading is taken from the first book of Corinthians, chapter 3. It's a short reading, verses 10 to 15. It's all about building wisely on strong foundations. And I don't know whether you're like me, just occasionally when you read a certain passage of Scripture, you get these moments of irreverence. I've suffered from one of these as I prepared to read this morning, because anybody that's had dealings with Malvern Hills District Planning Council, one or two verses in this reading will resonate very strongly. So we start at verse 10, chapter 3. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. May God bless this reading to us, and Tim as he talks to us using some of these words. Amen.
You may have noticed through the In Touch that the title of this sermon is called Spiritual MOT. And I put it together actually with a Sunday evening in mind. We've done it once on a Sunday evening, and it's here by special request. Okay, so obviously somebody enjoyed it. But the point about Sunday evenings is they are actually slightly different from Sunday mornings. They're more reflective. There's gaps sometimes in what we do so that we can think about what's been said. And sometimes even we might ask people to actually do something. It's a bit radical, isn't it? But it does happen on a Sunday evening. Now you can relax. I know this is Sunday morning, so I wouldn't dare to ask you to actually do anything. But what I would like you to do is, we're going to, as we go through this, it doesn't take that long, to really reflect, because it's a chance for each of us to look at our own spiritual lives and measure up against maybe what some of the things that the Word says about where we should be, what we should be doing. And I asked for this particular passage, 1 Corinthians 3, 10 to 15, because it's not just a nice passage from Scripture, you know, that we should think, oh yes, I must make sure to do good in my life, to build well. It's actually a warning as much as anything. It talks about verse 13. The work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. Now that's not just any day. In my Bible, and I imagine in yours, it's a capital D day. Which means that it's at some future point in history, or perhaps outside history, I don't know how it's all going to fit together, God will take each one of our lives and look at it and say, well, what did you do with your life? And that's what it's talking about here with the different materials. Because if something's set on fire, some things burn and burn readily, whereas other things don't burn readily and survive that sort of test. It's the gold, the silver, and the costly stones that even though they go through the fire, they don't change their form. They hold their form. This was very readily illustrated by the fire in Notre Dame. I don't know if you ever saw that picture, which was taken afterwards, where there was total devastation in the sanctuary, but there was still that cross, that gold cross, which was set up, I suppose, at the altar. And there it was. It was still there, even after the fire had swept through. But there are other things. Here we go. Started to lose things already. There are other things that that don't survive. Wood, straw, and what was the other thing? Wood, hay, and straw. Things that you wouldn't expect to survive a fire, but that you wouldn't really choose to build with in most circumstances anyway. And it's interesting because Jesus actually said in Luke, what people value highly is detestable in God's sight. So in my mind, quite often that is reversed, in that what the world would look at as silver, gold, and costly stones, in God's sight is hay, straw, and just rubbish. So it really takes us, it's really important that we take hold of this as a solemn warning, as well as an injunction to live the way that God wants us to live. So how do we do that? Well, that was the idea of the MOT. In a normal MOT with your car, you put it in to make sure that all the systems on the car are working properly. And if there aren't, if the bits that aren't working properly, they'll either say, sorry, you failed, you need to pay £300 for this, or they'll put a little thing on there, a little warning that says, this isn't quite as it should be, here's a warning to say you need to deal with this soon, but we'll let it through. And that really is the idea of the spiritual MOT. I've got four, just like you go into a mechanics workshop and you see all these amazing machines that they sort of stick into your car and you have no idea what they're doing, but obviously they do, sort of diagnostic tools for testing various things in your car. Well, I've got four spiritual diagnostic tools. It took me ages, of course, to build these things, so I really hope you appreciate the work that's gone into them. You can plug them into yourself and see where you're registering. Now, obviously, this is a very personal thing. We're not going to share any of our findings whatsoever. It's for you, really, to take and use as you want. You might find somebody came up to me after the evening set service that we did and said the same thing popped out at me in all four instances. So I knew that God was speaking to me. I thought that was great because that's exactly what this is all about. So we're just going to just run through these four diagnostic tools. As you go, just be aware of maybe what God is saying. Be aware of the areas of maybe something that catches your interest, because that may be something that God is saying, what about that? The highs and lows of emotion, perhaps. I'm not saying that this is a roller coaster of emotion, but you know what I mean. So, Joel, we're going to start with the first one. Okay, it's a soil test kit. And why is it called the soil test kit? Because it's another way of saying, why aren't I growing? Why aren't I growing as a Christian? And it's based, perhaps you might have figured out, on the parable of the sower from Matthew 13 and other places, where the seed that Jesus talks about being thrown out is the seed of God's word into our lives. First bit. On the bottom is a level of growth, sort of outward growth, perhaps. Turn the lights off, it might help a little bit, yeah. And then the next one, Joel, because up the other side we've got depth. Depth of soil, you might say. But also depth is our receptivity to the Word of God. And it's our response to it. How much space do we give in our lives to God's Word and what it is that He wants to do in and through it? So the first thing that we come across when Jesus does this is the seed that falls on the path. It gets snatched away by the birds. And Jesus says it gets snatched away because people just don't understand it. And therefore there is no growth, but there's no growth because there is no depth of soil. And stuff just sits on the top. The next one, please, Joel, is the rocky ground. That's where plants take root very briefly and spring up quickly. But as soon as the sun comes out, it withers and dies. And that's basically because there is no root. The growth is quick. The outward growth looks impressive. But there's no root underneath. The soil is shallow. It's full of stones and rocks. The third one is the thorns. And I think this is, to be honest, this is the most interesting in many ways. The seed takes root, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, compete. And you'll notice that the growth is there, but it's competing with other things. What you'll also notice is that presumably the depth of soil is deep. But because there are other things competing, the growth still doesn't happen. Even though the depth of soil, the receptivity to God's word is there, there are other things competing. Finally, of course, the good soil. Jesus says these are people that hear and understand. But they're not just those that hear and understand, that they have room in their lives to allow what they've heard and to allow what they've understood to take root and to actually do something in their lives. I'm just going to just leave a period of a minute's silence for you to think about that without me talking, to see where you think you might be in that, and you might see yourself in different places. I'll just leave you to ponder for just a couple of seconds. Okay, Joel, if you could flick on to the next one. The next one's the walk with Jesusometer. Of course it is. This is a very finely balanced instrument. Joel, next one, please. You can see just how delicate that is, can't you? That balance, just the tiniest little thing, would tip either one way or the other. On one end of the scale is the Word. That's the Word of God, the Bible. That sits on one side of that scale. On the other side of the scale is the Spirit of God. And that sits right on the other end of the scale. And the idea is, of course, that in our lives, we hold those two things in balance. They should work together constantly. The Word is illuminated by the Spirit. The Spirit moves through the Word. If we have that balance in our lives exactly right, then we're going to score, thank you, Joel, a perfect zero. Because we're holding those two things in balance. The only problem is, next one, if we slide too far to the right, yes, the right, we can become... If all we do is look at the Word and the Spirit never illuminates any of that to us in an extreme situation, I've got into trouble for this, by the way, in the past, so I hope nobody's going to take offence to this. We can become predictable. We can become uninspiring and uninspired. And we can just have a boring life, a Christian life. A life that's not in any way informed by and brought alive by what the Spirit is doing through the Word. But on the other side, if we tend to go the other way and we don't allow the Word to inform anything that we're doing, we can sort of become a bit impulsive, unstable, and let's face it, a bit weird sometimes. It happens. But if we are right in the middle, that's where we want to be, isn't it? Because that is where we find that this balance becomes powerful, grounded, and we become in touch both with the Word and the Spirit in our lives. I hope it's all of us, but the truth is we're probably along one way or one or the other to some degree. So the idea with this is that you maybe identify perhaps where you might be. But the wonderful thing about this one is it tells you what you need to do to come back into the middle. Have a think about that for a second. Okay, next one, Joel, please. It's the prayer graph. This talks about different elements of prayer, different ways in which prayer is made up. It's important to underline at this point that prayer is not good because there's lots of it. In other words, the amount of time that you spend in prayer is not important in many ways. Jesus says the pagans think that they are heard because of their many words. And then, of course, he prays this amazing prayer, which is so short that you kind of think, oh, okay. So it's not the amount of prayer, the volume of prayer, it's the quality of prayer that really counts. And this paragraph just suggests different aspects of prayer that we're not actually able to all do all the time, but different aspects of prayer in which we can fit into our lives at different times, which may actually enhance, enrich our prayer lives. So the first one is praise. You know, it's easy to come to church, isn't it, and sing and praise and pray there. But I wonder how often we do it at home. It doesn't matter what our voice sounds like at home, because no one else can hear it. And God's not really interested in the voice. He's interested in the heart. You don't even have to sing to praise, but you do have to do something. You do have to make some sort of declaration. Is recognizing God's nature. And that's what we've been doing this morning. We've been singing about God. I wonder how often our individual prayer lives give space for that. Next one is about waiting. Waiting without even saying anything. Waiting on God. Silent soul surrender is the tag that I've given this. But it's just spending time with God without doing anything at all. Next one is confession, temple cleansing time. I guess this comes to us perhaps easier than some of these other aspects sometimes, depending on where we're at. But really, as we all know, this is something that we need to be constantly aware of. And I think the Holy Spirit is a lot more interested in this than we are. Then we've got scripture praying. Using scripture to pray from and through. We've sort of done this on another Sunday evening. And it does take a little bit of practice because we're so used to just reading. But actually, what we've got here is deep and rich truth that we can turn into prayer which really enhances our lives just by taking small portions of scripture and declaring them aloud as we pray. Next one, which is interests me a lot. I'm not saying that's because I'm particularly good at it, but watching. Jesus constantly said you need to watch and pray. And I've got down here developing holy alertness. There's lots of things that we need to watch. And I'm not just talking about watching God and what God is doing, but watching what's happening in the world, watching those around us, watching to see A, what God is doing, B, what the enemy is doing. We need to develop that. I really think we need to develop that. Can't really talk much more about that, but you understand roughly what I'm saying. Next one is intercession, which I think that's one of the things that we generally do, does come fairly naturally when we're praying on our own. The next one is petition. We're asking for our own personal needs. Then thanksgiving is the next one. Confessing our blessing. It sounds a bit American, but it does. It is important that we take hold of what it is that God's done and doing and thank him for it. The next one, I've got singing. I've forgotten that singing was a separate one. So I've commented on that, so I won't hang around with that one. So we'll move straight on to meditation, pondering spiritual themes. How important is that? How often do we actually allow just a little bit of time to just allow something that God might have said to take root in our lives, just to cross over to one of those other things that we were talking about? Then another one is listening, because prayer is a two-way thing. It's a two-way conversation. We have to be able to hear what God is saying to us. Again, some of those other things, there's a crossover there, but to intentionally listen to what God is saying is an aspect of prayer that's largely missing in this day and age. And then, because I needed a 12th, I put praise again, because it's always good to finish off with praise as well as start with it. Because we continually need to recognize God's nature. So I'm just going to give you half a minute to just think about those things and what it is perhaps that maybe pops out for you from that. Okay, the last diagnostic tool that we have, it's the Spiritual Sensitivity Bandwidth Analyzer. Next one, Joel, please. It's one of those, I don't know what they do, but one of those machines that sort of does this so that you can measure signal strength. And this is based on Isaiah 11, which talks about the seven spirits of God. To get a rough idea. So next one, please. So basically we're just analysing where we're at, if we're just being honest. The first one is sharing. What do I mean by sharing? I mean how often, how readily, how easily do we find it to talk to somebody else about what God is doing in our lives, about spiritual stuff. I wonder how easy that is for you. I wonder how easy it should be. The next one is understanding. And what I mean by that is our understanding of spiritual things. How easily do we get what the pastor is saying from the front is just a small aspect of it. What do we understand about spiritual things, how things fit together? Next one is fear, but by fear I mean a fear of the Lord. A fear of the Lord, as the Bible tells us constantly, is a really healthy thing. And, you know, we don't talk about it very much these days. And it can be subverted very easily into being something that it's not intended to be at all. But a fear of the Lord, how does that play out in our lives? How if we could do something, if we could take a shortcut which nobody would ever know about, only God, do we do it or not? Next one is expectation. And by that I mean, how much do you expect God to speak to you? Do you expect him to speak to you once every 20 years? Or do you expect him to speak to you every day? Where are you at with that? What's your experience? But what is your expectation of God? The last one is excitement. And by that I mean, how excited are you about what God is doing in your life? If God is at work, and we believe that he is, then surely if we're somehow interacting with the creator of the universe, that must be amazing. But so often we don't recognize that, we don't see that. So another 30 seconds or so, just to consider those things. The results of that MOT are very personal. They're very much up to the individual. But I would, if something has popped out from that, I would talk to somebody else about it. Just share. It's one of the things that I've asked people to think about. Share with somebody else. Because we need to generate that kind of talk in our lives, to move forward, to progress as Christians. And also, if anybody would like to give me any feedback on that, I would really appreciate it as well. So just drop me an email or something. That would be very handy. Things that worked, things that maybe didn't work, I don't know. But anything like that would really be appreciated. So Father, as we come to the end of what is, for a Sunday morning, a slightly different sermon, Father, we just ask that your Spirit would illuminate, guide, and Father, that you would speak into our hearts and lives through these things. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.